And now for reading and writing and radio.
Miss Helen was always too giddy to heed what her mother had told her to shun, for frequently over the street in full speed she would cross where the carriages run, and out she would go to a very deep well to look at the water below. How naughty to run to a dangerous well where her mother forbade her to go. One morning, intending to take but one peep, her foot slipped away from the ground. Unhappy misfortune! The water was deep, and giddy Miss Helen was drowned.
The author of that 1808 cautionary tale was Elizabeth Turner, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
I've been having a wonderfully fun time lately teaching and learning myself in a course called History of Children's Literature. And we've all been reading the books that were written for children since the beginnings of books really written for children, which isn't very long ago. One type of writing that was very popular in the last century was the cautionary tale, or tale of admonition. These were serious stories or poems that taught a lesson. Usually some smallish sin, such as giddiness in Miss Helen, or some flaw in character, was met with swift, just, and often violent retribution. And these tales were to cause the young reader to take warning, or if he was already well down the path of sloth or sin or giddiness, to mend his ways. Often the cautionary tales spelled out the moral at the end, so that the reader would be sure not to miss the point. Here's another one by the same author of Miss Helen. It's called The Hoyden. Miss Agnes had two or three dolls and a box to hold all their bonnets and tippets and frocks in a red leather thread case that snapped when it shut. She had needles to sew with and scissors to cut. But Agnes liked better to play with rude boys than work with her needle, or play with her toys. Young ladies should always appear neat and clean, yet Agnes was seldom dressed fit to be seen. I saw her one day attempting to throw a very large stone when it fell on her toe. The boys who were present and saw what was done set up a loud laugh and called it fine fun. But I took her home, and the doctor soon came, and Agnes, I fear, will a long time be lame. And from morning to night she laments very much that now when she walks she must lean on a crutch. And she has told her dear father 1,000 times o'er that she never will play with rude boys any more. About 40 years ago, a writer talking about this woman said this: children were not then recognized as human creatures. They were a race apart, savages that must be driven from the gates, beasts to be kept in cages, devils to whose voices one must not listen. Indeed, the very nature of children was held to be sinful. Lies and sloth, untidiness and irreverence, and a tendency to steal blackcurrant jam were taken to be its chief constituents. Never once does the authoress betray the briefest wish to treat children objectively. Yet, curious though it seemed to modern ideas, she typifies the parents of her period. Let's read a few more of these cautionary tales. Here's one called Little Willie, probably from about the same vintage. Once upon a summer's day, little Willie ran away with some naughty boys to play. His mother bade him not do so, but little naughty boys, you know, are sometimes bad enough to go and do the things that are forbid, and mind it not when they are chid. This little naughty Willie did. He heeded not his mother's voice, but went to play with wicked boys who ran around and made a noise. Willie knew that this was wrong, but yet his inclination strong bore him with the rest along. He gaily joined the little crew, became the worst among them, too, and planned the mischief they should do. He said he knew a farmer there who had some peaches, fine and fair, and of them he would have a share. The rest loved fruit as well as he, and so the little rogues agree to steal the peaches from the tree. The story goes on and on, how little Willie and his friends steal the peaches. At the end, however, they do not come to a terrible fate, as giddy Miss Helen did by drowning in the well. They only got chased and bitten by the farmer's dog, taken home, severely reprimanded by their parents, and the last verse is, "For all his sins and faults he wept, they were to deep oblivion swept, and all his promises were kept." There's a pretty awful one called The History of Little Fanny. Little Fanny, who is of an age to play with dolls, is stolen from her nurse because she is in her fine clothes when out against her mother's wishes, and she becomes a dirty beggar girl. This state apparently lasts for some time, and with vice she dwelt, which doubled all her pain. Eventually, Fanny is rescued and becomes an errand girl, crying, "Fish to sell." In the course of time, she leaves the fish business for milk and eggs, and thinking of home and her mother, down her cheeks descends the trembling tear. After all this misery, we are amazed to read that, "Had she but known her mother's watchful eye followed her close and was forever nigh, longing once more her daughter to embrace, hang on her neck and kiss her smiling face, whilst prudence still withheld maternal love, till longer trial Fanny's virtue prove." Well, Fanny finally, in fear and trembling, delivers milk and eggs to her mother's house and is welcomed back into the family, having suffered long enough for her vanity. An appalling sort of thing for any mother to do. But families in these stories did appalling things. In The Fairchild Family by Mrs. Sherwood, which is around 1830, the father takes the children out into the woods. They have been quarreling, and he takes them to where there is a murderer hanging from a tree. And in those days in England, when someone murdered someone, his body was left to rot. And so while the children cry and plead and say, "Papa, take us away from this terrible place," why, the father sternly says, "No, not until you hear the story of this man." And he tells how this man had quarreled with and then murdered his brother. And at another point in the Fairchild Family, one of the children climbs a cherry tree and picks cherries with one of the little servant girls when she has been told not to do so, and as a result spends 3 days alone in her room, fed on only bread and water. You may wonder why these stories are popular. Well, the adults wrote them, the adults bought them, and they distributed the books, and there was little else for the children to read. Fairy tales went in and mostly out of favor, usually being considered unwholesome reading for the young. While we're mentioning fairy tales, I might say that many a fairy tale was a cautionary tale in its way, usually more entertaining than some of these others. For instance, Little Red Riding Hood, which was first written down almost 300 years ago, had this moral added to the end of it. And I might say that the original Little Red Riding Hood, the first real version we have of it, doesn't have Grandma safe in the closet, doesn't have Grandma swallowed up by the wolf, or Little Red Riding Hood swallowed up by the wolf and then rescued by the woodchopper. There is no woodchopper. The wolf eats Grandma, the wolf eats Little Red Riding Hood, and that is the end of it. And here is where Perrault puts his moral. "Little girls, this seems to say, never stop upon your way. Never trust a stranger friend. No one knows how it will end. As you're pretty, so be wise. Wolves may lurk in every guise. Handsome they may be and kind, gay or charming. Never mind. Now as then, 'tis simple truth. Sweetest tongue has sharpest tooth. But you can see, too, that there is a fascination to these cautionary tales. After all, wouldn't you be fascinated by the story of Ned, who sassed his father on shipboard, fell over the rail, and was severed right through the middle by a shark? These cautionary tales were so awful that later generations, Mark Twain, for instance, and Hilaire Belloc, wrote marvelous spoofs of them, satires, parodies. One of Mark Twain's was where a man got on a railway carriage and, sitting with a group of children who were noisy, he began to tell them what appeared to be a cautionary tale to the approval of the mother, how all the naughty little children didn't get medals for being good and the good little boy got medals for being good, but they were once out in the field and a wolf or a lion or something like that came along and all the bad little children who were not weighted down with medals for being good managed to scamper away and be saved, whereas the good little boy was so burdened by the symbols of his goodness that he could not run fast enough and he was caught and eaten by the wolf or the lion. My favorite spoofs of the cautionary tales, however, are Hilaire Belloc's cautionary tales. And here is his poem, and it's called Jim, Who Ran Away from His Nurse and Was Eaten by a Lion. There was a boy whose name was Jim. His friends were very good to him. They gave him tea and cakes and jam and slices of delicious ham and chocolate with pink inside and little tricycles to ride and read him stories through and through and even took him to the zoo. But there it was the dreadful fate befell him, which I now relate. You know, at least you ought to know, for I have often told you so, the children never are allowed to leave their nurses in a crowd. Now this was Jim's especial foible. He ran away when he was able, and on this inauspicious day he slipped his hand and ran away. He hadn't gone a yard when, bang, with open jaws a lion sprang and hungrily began to eat the boy, beginning with his feet. Now just imagine how it feels when first your toes and then your heels and then by gradual degrees your shins and ankles, calves and knees are slowly eaten bit by bit. No wonder Jim detested it. No wonder that he shouted, "Hi!" The honest keeper heard his cry. Though very fat, he almost ran to help the little gentleman. "Ponto!" he ordered as he came, for Ponto was the lion's name. "Ponto," he cried with angry frown, "let go, sir, down, sir, put it down." The lion made a sudden stop. He let the dainty morsel drop and slunk reluctant to his cage, snarling with disappointed rage. But when he bent him over Jim, the honest keeper's eyes were dim. The lion, having reached his head, the miserable boy was dead. When nurse informed his parents, they were more concerned than I can say. His mother, as she dried her eyes, said, "Well, it gives me no surprise. He would not do as he was told." His father, who was self-controlled, bade all the children round attend to James's miserable end and always keep a hold of nurse for fear of finding something worse. Another one of Belloc's is Henry King, who chewed bits of string and was early cut off in dreadful agonies. The chief defect of Henry King was chewing little bits of string. At last he swallowed some, which tied itself in ugly knots inside. Physicians of the utmost fame were called at once, but when they came, they answered, as they took their fees, "There is no cure for this disease. Henry will very soon be dead." His parents stood about his bed lamenting his untimely death, when Henry, with his latest breath, cried, "Oh, my friends, be warned by me that breakfast, dinner, lunch, and tea are all the human frame requires." With that, the wretched child expires. Don't think that the serious cautionary tale is dead. Even at Belloc's time, when he was spoofing these tales, the stories of the Goops were being written. The Goops, they lick their fingers. The Goops, they lick their knives. They something or other and lead outrageous lives. The idea was to improve your manners. Somewhat later, when I was a kid, Monroe Leaf was writing Manners Can Be Fun, Grammar Can Be Fun. And I read these books with a sort of condescending feeling toward the adults who I knew were trying to teach me manners in a pleasant sort of way, and it was sort of fun. But even now, you can find on the grocery shelves a book called Tootle the Engine, which gives us the cautionary lesson, stay on the tracks, or else you won't grow up to be a streamliner. Today, let's have some fun writing our own cautionary tales. They can be spoofs, they can be serious, they can be just as up-to-date, and they can be just as awful as we want them.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.